Okay, so one thing that we had started on the other day was, you know, learning to think for yourself, which I think is quite important when you're in the Dharma. So you really learn from and listen to your teachers, but you think for yourself, you know, because whether it's a, you know, especially if it's a Dharma point, you have to really think, is this true or is this not true? Like in the teachings last night, if I'm talking about emptiness, don't just say, oh, well, somebody said everything's empty of inherent existence, so it must be. But, you know, really think about that and understand it. And then in that way, it becomes your own and you get it on a really, you know, deep internal level. And then in terms also of other things that go on, not only, you know, specific Dharma points, learning from others, but thinking for yourself. Also, you know, the way the community does things or the way social issues are regarded, things like that. Then, you know, learn and listen from your teachers and others, but think for yourself. Yeah, I remember one of my teachers who is wonderful. I mean, I just had so much amazing respect for him and learned so much from him. But he thought George Bush was a great president, you know. So, you know, I don't just like listen and, you know, my teacher said so, so I believe. It's like that one, no, I wasn't going to. You know, I wasn't going to buy that one, okay? So, and also because we go to our teachers to learn the Dharma, not to learn politics, not to learn, you know, social economics or, you know, any of these kinds of topics. So to really, you know, take Dharma principles and apply them to things, but do that in our own creative way. Yeah, because I think becoming a monastic does not mean that you know, that we're all coming out of the same cookie cutter. You know, that doesn't work because we all come into this world with different talents, different dispositions, different interests. And so I think we have to recognize that and work with what we have and use what we have for the benefit of all beings instead of trying to make, you know, all fit into the same square hole. Especially if you're round or if you're star-shaped or triangular-shaped or whatever, you know, use the beauty of your own shape to benefit sentient beings instead of, like, you know, squeezing yourself trying to be something you're not. I learned that trying to be a Tibetan nun, and there was no way I could fit into how they were supposed to act. Anyway, okay, then also be transparent and don't be defensive because everybody knows our faults anyway. So when somebody gives you some feedback, listen. If what they say, you know, is right, say thank you very much. I'm working on it. There's no need to try and paint a pretty picture of how, well, I really didn't mean this, and this got blah, blah, hand, and blah, 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 da, 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 instead of just saying, you're right, I didn't tell the complete truth. It's just, you know, say what is, and don't feel ashamed with it, about it, rather than, you know, trying to justify and get defensive when everybody knows what happened anyway. Yeah, I mean, if people have gross misunderstanding, of course, correct that, yeah, and give them the proper information. But, you know, transparency, I think, works very well for us psychologically rather than covering things up. Just, you know, if we broke a precept, there it is, yeah? And then we stop all this self-recrimination and guilt and shame and junk like that that really gets in the way of practice. Yeah, so the importance of confession and just saying it, you know, here it is, instead of, well, you know, it's, I did that, but it's really that person's fault. You know, own our own responsibility in things, but don't own what isn't our responsibility. Then also very important is rejoicing at other people's good qualities and not comparing yourself to others. Yeah, because comparing ourselves to others just gets us, it digs us in a ditch, you know, especially when you're trying to do Dharma practice. Oh, that person sits better than I do. That person looks better than I do. That person has more faith than I do. That person's smarter. That person's heard more teachings. That person's done more retreat. You know, comparing ourselves to others and competing with others, it's useless in Dharma practice. Just do your practice. And when you see good qualities in others, be happy about it. Because it's nice that, thank you, that other people have good qualities and are better than us. Yeah. And when you're better at them, so what? Don't make a big deal about it. You know, again, just get out of this whole thing of comparing. Because we're not having a race to see who gets enlightened faster. That's not our motive. You know, our motivation is to benefit sentient beings. So everybody does that in their own way. We don't need to compete. Have a long-term view. Yeah, so be content to create the causes in your practice by following the teachings and stop waiting for grandiose flashes of, you know, insight to occur and instances of samadhi that then you can go tell everybody you've had. But just be content, you know, to do your practice. Study. Because study is important. If we don't study, we don't know how to meditate. If we don't study, we don't know what the Dharma is. And we wind up making up our own path. And that's dangerous. Yeah, so it's really important to study from, you know, not only the sutras, but from the great commentators and the learned masters. Have a good motivation for our practice. Yeah, really make cultivating motivation a really chief focus, because if we have a good motivation of, you know, wanting to attain liberation, wanting to work for sentient beings and thus wanting to attain full awakening, then that long-term motivation will sustain us through the ups and downs of practice. If our motivation in the back of our mind is to have some kind of peak experience or to become a Dharma teacher, you know, or to, you know, something like that, that motivation will not sustain our practice, and it also contaminates our practice with worldly gain, you know, and wanting to be somebody, you know. I'm practicing so that I can be a Dharma teacher. Then I have a career. Yeah? And Dharma's not a career. Yeah? Dharma is our life. Remember the kindness of others all the time and really make that a chief meditation. I find personally that helps the mind so much, is reflecting on the kindness of others, because it just makes relationships with other people easier. It reduces anger, it reduces competition, it reduces jealousy. Yeah, and just for me anyway, thinking of the kindness of others just brings much more contentment to the mind. Yeah, so not only the kindness of, you know, parents and teachers and friends, but the kindness of strangers and the kindness of people who harm us as well. And then when you ask others for guidance, really listen to the guidance they give you, but like I said, think for yourself. And when others ask you for help in the Dharma, really listen to them before saying something. Yeah. Try to hear when people ask you questions what their real question is, what their real concern is, and address that. And then I mentioned this before, differentiate between what is Dharma and what is religious institutions, because they're completely different. Yeah, the Dharma is our refuge with the Buddha Dharma Sangha, direct access. Yeah, a religious institution is something formed by human beings, and of course, not all Buddhists are Buddhas, so religious institutions are going to have difficulties and so on. Yeah, so I see our job as going deep in our refuge and deep in our practice, yeah, and to have as much of a religious institution as is necessary to encourage practice, but not one bit more. In other words, our purpose is not to create and reinforce and be a team member of a religious institution. Our aim is inner transformation. Okay? So not to confuse the two things. Yeah? Because institutions have problems. And if your refuge is in the institution, when the institution has a problem, then your refuge gets shaky. But if your refuge is in the Buddha Dharma Sangha, then you know that even when institutions have problems, you can bring compassion and wisdom to those problems without letting those problems make you discouraged or, you know, cause you to lose faith in anything. Okay, so that's what I thought of so far. Yeah. Yes, anybody have questions or comments? Right, it's a balancing act between learning from others and thinking for ourselves. And especially at the beginning, you really want to learn and listen. Yeah, but again, you know, even as you're learning and listening, you have to think about the teachings yourself. You know, if somebody says you have a precious human life, do you just go, yeah, I do, because you said so? That's not going to bring stability in your practice. Whereas if you really think for yourself about what the qualities of a precious human life are, then you'll, you know, it really comes home in your heart what you have. Yeah? So I'm in saying this, I'm not saying don't accept any guidance. You know, definitely accept guidance, but try and understand the reason for the guidance. And then see if the guidance is in the Dharma or if the guidance has to do with cultural choices or politics or something like that. Yeah? Because, you know, we and our teachers can have different political views, like I said. We can have different views on social issues, you know. Yeah, that we have to think for ourselves about all those things.
The balancing thing.
Yeah, it's a balance thing. You know, you don't want to be so opinionated that you can't learn from anybody, because that's useless. Yeah, then you become very unhappy as a monastic, because you think that you're very close to enlightenment and nobody's listening to your wonderful opinions that you've had all your life about what everybody should do. You know, so those things have to be given up to be a happy monastic. Actually, just to be a happy person, period. You know, if we have too many opinions and we grasp onto our own ideas and opinions too strongly, we're going to be quite miserable. Yeah. Even my sister, who's not a Buddhist, she said that in a recent email. She has two teenage kids, and her kids are really good. You know, they're not the rebellious type. But she said, I'm really learning not to have too many opinions. Yeah? Because they just get you into trouble. And, yeah, so.
Do you have a
problem.
Okay, so you're saying that when your mind's very confused, then it's better to err towards the side of listening to somebody who has more wisdom and compassion than you do, who can give you solid advice and guidance. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah, but then you definitely have to work it out with your own mind so that you understand that guidance that you've received and then can apply it to your own mind in the future. Yeah, so you internalize that advice.